This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm going to come out here to talk about Jesus' abundant harvest. As Jesus went out across the lands of the ancient Near East, through Galilee and Capernaum and Judea, people were coming to him because word was spreading about him that Jesus was someone who could help. Who could help when nobody else could help. That's why people would come to him who had been dealing with problems for years. Like a woman who'd been bleeding for years, over a decade, coming just to touch even the threads of his cloak. When no one could help, when it seemed like all the doctors, all the physicians could no longer have anything to do to cure this sickness, the centurion came to Jesus and said, "My servant is sick, can you help?" All of the people coming to Jesus came because Jesus was their last resort. They were helpless and harassed, is what the scriptures say this morning. These were people who were lost. He calls them the lost sheep of Israel. And when he sends his disciples out to go out into them, he sends them out specifically to go to the people that everybody had already written off, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Because it was here, in this moment, in this situation where it seemed like there was no other way forward, that God wanted to work. That God wanted to work the most. Because when Jesus looked out at that sea of people, at the crowds that were coming to him, helpless and harassed, full of problems and empty of resources. They didn't have a dime in their pocket. They didn't have any redeeming anything to offer to Jesus. There was nothing much to work with. There was just a problem. And instead of looking on this crowd as the world does, which sees just a problem that's way too big, a situation way too overwhelming, something that we can't handle, that we've got to send them somewhere else, Jesus says, "No, that's not what I see here. What I see here is an abundant harvest." He looks out onto this crowd of problems and he sees abundance. And says, "Where are the laborers to go and reap this abundance? Where are the laborers for this abundant harvest?" As Jesus looks out, he sees possibility in people who can no longer even see possibility in themselves. All week this week at VBS, we learn stories that touch on this God that Jesus shows us and shows us so clearly. About the God who shows us that there is indeed a way when it seems like there is no way. When the Israelites were out in the desert, we started this week. The Israelites were out in the desert and there was no food. They had eaten everything they'd brought with them out of Egypt. All of the stores that they had packed on their backs, all of the rations that they had stuffed in their pockets were gone. Now they were out in the desert on the other side of the Red Sea, far from the fertile valley of the Nile. And there in the desert, they began to grumble because they were hungry. And what did God do? God sent food, manna and quail, feeding the people, making a way through the desert, not just for a day, not just for a week, not just for a year, but for 40 years God did this. Feeding the people day after day with sustenance when nothing else seemed possible except for them to starve and to die. And so they grumbled, but God provided and looked down on that grumbling people and said, no, there is an abundant harvest here. This is my people. I will take them and bless them and make of them a great nation, and I will feed them when they think there is no food. The next day, we learned about a prophet and a widow. A prophet who goes in a time of famine, and he's out in a field, and there is a widow, a woman who is lacking support. Her husband has died. She has a hungry son at home. The prophet comes and to her says, can you make me a meal? I'm hungry. And the widow says, I've only got a little bit left. Some flour, some oil, just a little tiny bit. And the prophet Elijah says to her, what you think is just a little bit, God is going to make into an abundance. What you think is the problem and your death, your last meal, is instead going to be the first meal of the rest of your life. Because God is going to provide for you, and you are going to survive this famine, and your son is going to survive this famine. Just go home and trust in God and make us food together. And the widow does. And what happens? The oil doesn't run out. The flour doesn't run out. They are able to make food and to provide until the rains come again and the grass grows and the wheat is ready to be harvested. And they survive when they thought they had nothing left to do but die. God saw instead an abundant harvest. And the prophet Elijah showed them and opened their eyes to the ways of that abundance. The next day we learned about Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We learned about how in a time when their people were conquered by a king from afar, a king Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar conscripted the people of Israel into his service. We know from other stories that King Nebuchadnezzar commanded those people to bow down and worship them. And yet, in this situation, where this foreign king came and stole them away and made them become his servants, in a situation that seems helpless and hopeless, where all of the power is gone, where God's activity in the world is questionable because this is seemingly not the way that things should go. These individuals, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, instead trust in God and see in this moment a way not only to survive, but to thrive in God. As they commit themselves to the prayer and the thanksgiving of God. And they commit themselves to a special diet which doesn't necessarily mark anything but their faith in the one who provides for them. Not the king, not the food from the king's table, but a special diet that is just dedicated to their honoring of God in their lives. And in that situation where it seems like the king is the great authority, instead it is shown that God is the true authority. And even in that situation where it seemed like everything, those who had followed God were going to be conscripted and slaved away, instead were lifted up and elevated among the nations. And God made a way and made an abundant harvest out of their choice. And then on our last day, we studied the scriptures of Jesus, where Jesus was out and there was that crowd. That needy, hungry crowd that needed so much. And the disciples said, Lord, what are we going to do with these people? They're hungry, and we don't have any food. We got to send them away. They got to go into the towns and buy some food because we can't provide for them. We don't have enough. And Jesus said to them, well, no, wait. Let's just ask and see. Did anybody bring food out here? And a young boy had his lunch. And what was in that lunch? Bread and two fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Nothing else. And yet, in that little tiny bit of lunch, just a boy's lunch, Jesus didn't look at that and say, oh, we don't have enough. Jesus looked at that offering from this young boy and said, here is an abundant harvest. And gave thanks to God, shared the bread, had everybody sit down and pass it around. And everybody ate until they were full. And at the end of it, they had more than when they started with. 12 baskets of leftovers. Like coming to the church potluck. And you've just got your little dish. And you're like, I don't know how this is going to feed all these people. And you come and you set it on the table. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we have so much food. What are we going to do with all this extra food? God, our God, is a God who looks into situations that seem impossible, where the rations seem scarce and meager, and instead says, no, here is an opportunity for abundance, for generosity and faith and love and power to be shown. When I think of the way that God provides in impossible situations, I can't help but think of my dad. My dad is someone who I turn to when I don't know how to fix the problem I'm faced with anymore. I had a tree in my house over here a couple years back. A storm came and it blew my tree over, cracked it in half, smashed it into the neighbor's yard. The neighbor said, you got to clean this tree up out of my yard. And I said, Dad? And sure enough, up from Nebraska on a whim with a chainsaw and some goggles, my dad shows up. And we get the tree cleared out in a day. Talk about making a way out of no way. We tried, when we moved into my house, we tried getting our couch down into our basement. The thing would not fit. The corners on the staircase are too tiny. They're small. We gave up. We put the couch upstairs. My dad came up and he said, well, you want this couch downstairs? I think we can do away. He got out a saw. He cut a hole in my wall. We got the couch downstairs. He made a way out of no way. Sometimes he's the one that I turn to when everything else seems impossible. He's the first call that I made when I got my son's diagnosis, and I needed to share the news when my son was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy, and I wasn't sure what his health situation was going to look like. I called him for support to share in that because I knew he would hear me and respond with empathy and support. In that situation where it felt like there was no way forward, my dad was going to point out that somehow you'll get through this. That's what God does for us. He says to our lives, to each of our individual situations, whatever it is that you're faced with, when it seems like it's impossible to find a way forward, God looks at that same situation and with divine gaze says, no, there's a way here. There is an abundant harvest to be had out of this scarcity. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.